Praise God. Lift him up tonight. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Worthy. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, back on Paul. Back on Paul. Thank you, Jesus. Easy there, brother. Don't break anything. Thank you, Lord. We last left off as he kind of started this journey to Rome. And so, as you can see down here, let me see if I can make this any bigger down here in this little portion. That they consider this right here after he left Jerusalem part of his journey here on this, according to this map, as it says AD 57. And so it includes the first stop is in Jerusalem. And then, you know, as we kind of talked about that last week, how he went before Felix. And then King Agrippa before being, sent to make his way into Rome. And so that's kind of what we talked about last week, this little portion right in here where he bore witness to them and right before he gets on the boat here. Thank you, Lord. So go over in your Bibles to Acts, of course. Chapter 27 is where we left off. Chapter 27, and you know, this is one of my favorite ones. I say a lot about a lot of scriptures, but this is truly one of my top passages in this story. I don't know why, I love it. It's so good. It is so good. So, chapter 27. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is everybody there? We'll go to verse 1 here. So, like we said, we've already established that they're sending them to Rome. And verse number 1, and when it was determined that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. And entering into ship of Adrimiliton, however that's pronounced, there's no L in there, I put an L in there, I think, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One Aristocrus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go into his friends to refresh himself. And so that's this highlighted portion that I just did, the top of that, as they set sail, as they came into Sidon there. So they set off. And I love that first ship that took them from these little cities up into Sidon, that Adrimiliton, it means I shall abide in death. Interesting meaning. I shall abide in death. I just thought that was interesting. Of course, a lot of these ships, and as it's titled or as they make them known, they call them by the city or the port. And so this was a city up here in the regions up here. If you look in your concordance, somewhere along this Mysia, up in that area. So this is where that particular ship that they first. And so I kind of, I liken that to think, sometimes you just you got to get off the ship of death. You know what I'm saying? You just got to when the spirit of death tries to come and attach unto you, you just got to get off of it. But you see the relationship already starting between Paul and this centurion as he gives him favor to go and to, as it's written in the Bible, to refresh himself as he came into his friends. And so he actually was already technically in prison for, 2 years at this point. Like as Felix and all these ones, they were keeping hold of him before they were setting for it. It had already been a while. It had been a long time. And so you see the reason for him to kind of refresh himself to go. And so I love that picture too, because sometimes you just got to get, you have to get in the brotherhood and get yourself refreshed. You know, the enemy wants to keep us in a poor corner, in a lonely corner. wherever, you know, he might try to isolate us. But I'm telling you, I get like that a lot because, you know, I'm an introvert. And, you know, so I like to keep to myself. But then, you know, every once in a while, I'll just find myself kind of like in this, just, I feel like I'm just like in this corner. And it's like, man, you get, and then the next thing you know, you're down in a pit or you get into molly grubs, whatever it is. But, and I say that because I always find it true that if I just can pick up the phone and get a hold of the brotherhood, or if I can, you know, just that little bit of refreshness that comes with the brotherhood. Thank you, Lord. And so, as we pick back up there in verse 4, and when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Sicilia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And so you can see on our map here what he's talking about. Even though it's written and it says that they sailed under, I don't know that specific meaning, but you can tell by the in the next verse that Pamphylia and Myra, whichever, that this was the direction that they actually went. And so you would think that, you know, hey, you know, if I'm going to Rome, this is going to be the fastest, you know, way over here. But, you know, the Lord sometimes has different plans for us. See? So we're going up here to Rome, but, you know, you got to go to different ports. You got to find the right, ship, so to speak, because that they didn't ride the first one all the way over there because they weren't going. So they had to get on another boat. He's on his way to Rome. This is on the way to Rome. That's fine. He's already being held in contempt or That was before. That was from the rulers in Jerusalem and then up in, you know, towards wherever the King Agrippa is, as they went up towards this. He wrote the book of Romans before he got back to Jerusalem on his third journey. In that point in time, before he got back to Jerusalem, he wrote the book of Romans. He had never been to Rome, so he wrote. That's one thing that we established when we was going over Romans, was that that was one of the only books that Paul wrote to a church that he hadn't previously been or started. And yes. Yeah, I mean, there's always definitely confusion, you know, but I mean, as new converts that wasn't really set under a specific leader in the church, right, you see a lot of, that's why we established the Romans Road that's in through Romans, and a lot of foundational things to, you know, being a Christian. It is in Romans, so you can see the foundational thing. So that's why he's kind of laying this all out there, not knowing, you know, basically what they truly know. Yes, it's powerful. Yeah. Absolutely, and you see the church, you know, coming. There's Jews and yeah, he did. He wrote because he had planned to go, you know, to Rome, on his own accord, you know. But hey, once again, you know, Lord's going to find a way to get us where we need to be. Whether it's, you know, it may not be the avenue that we think it is, but he's going to get us there. And so Paul wanted to go on his own, but you know they captured him there in Jerusalem, and so now he's going according to the Lord's will. That's a lot. That is a lot. Yeah, I mean, you can see which this is mostly by boat. Yeah, no kidding, man. he could have had his room and board paid for. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for pointing that out. establish. No, that's fine. It's great. I like to review and go through. You know, repetition is important in learning. So let's see. Where did we leave off? Myra. Okay, so there in verse 6 is where they get on this ship of Alexandria, sailing into Italy, and he put us there in. And when we sailed, did y'all notice what is that, adjectives? No? I'm not an English guy. Notice how it's, the writer describes. He doesn't say Paul. God bless you. He doesn't say they, but he says we. So, which lets us know that Luke was in on this trip. It's the writer of Acts that he was along with Paul at this point in time. So I always think that's interesting. And so we sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us. We sailed under Crete over against Salmon. So you can see as they left Myra here. See, as they left, you know, Myra here, the wind really kind of starts to control them there. So they come under Crete. Thank you, Lord. And hardly passing it, came into a place which is called the Fair Havens. Nigh whereinto was the city of Lasse. And when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. What fast was he talking about? Fast was now already passed. What, Sister Kerry? It's for the Day of Atonement. Yeah, so this is the one for the fast refers to the Old Testament Day of Atonement. So, which sets the time period, but we would know is in like fall, so September, you know, October. So if there's anything we know about September, October, when you go down to Florida, you gotta often watch out for tropical storms, hurricanes, yeah, becoming victims of hurricanes. Hey, guess what? They were victims of hurricanes. They were victim of storms. Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So just kind of setting the point in the time that, you know, I don't really know why they were so, you know, to Flint, like we got to go, which, I mean, I guess they had prisoners, and there's a lot of people on this boat. It's like 276 people. So it's not just like you think, okay, it's just a couple guys, Paul and his people. And there's a lot of people on this boat. But they were determined, you know, to get there as quickly as possible. And so it's just kind of setting the time to let us know that these aren't great times to be, you know, out sailing. And so Paul admonishes them. Verse number 10, and said to them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, they did not want to stay there. And it wasn't, I mean, it does let us know, like, that wherever the current was coming in, the way that the wind was coming right in there, that it wasn't good for them just to set up camp. Makes you think of something, yeah, something like, you know, it's going to be, yeah, very well, you know, which I don't know a lot about the, you know, Crete in the wintertime, but either way, they were trying to get at. It must not have been good. Must not be. More advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix. So even, like, I guess the way the current and the wind, they're thinking if they can at least get over on this side of the island, that would be a better place to stop and to wait. And there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and the northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosening thence, they sailed close by Crete. And so that's, you can kind of tell that's exactly what had happened. The wind blew, and they're like, okay, this is our time. We better go now, right? This is our chance. And so verse number 14, but not long after, there rose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon, which, if you look that up in your concordance, you'll see a hurricane. You'll see meanings for a hurricane. And so, and when the ship, verse 15, when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, meaning we had no control, so we just, you know, let it take us where we must go. And running under a certain island, which was called Clauda, which is down here right below Crete. So this is just right after they're leaving Crete. Nope. No, you're like, man, can we turn around and go back? But I mean, they couldn't. You know, like that. There was no way. It's like the wind bore up and they let it drive. And so verse number 17 says, and we had much work, finishing 16, and we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, struck sail, and so were driven. And so they were trying to get over to, they were trying to come underneath to Phoenix, but the wind took them around that Claudia there, and they thought they were going to get stuck up in, you know, up towards the shore and the quicksands and the places the boat was just going to be stuck. You know, there was going to be nothing. You're talking about you know, in a bad place. And so doing so, they struck sail and off they went. Verse 18, and when being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. So again, the storms are coming. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And so, again, notice here how Luke says we. And so it's not just the people of the ship. It's not just the guys that are working to, you know, the doing the, you know, the sail and all these things. But we're in such a bad place and such stormy situations here that everybody, all hands, you know, like on deck. And so, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. I mean, he's just laying the truth out. I mean, he's like, look, we're in such a all hope that we should be saved was lost. You know, no, it said no stars appeared, no sun, like it was just terrible weather. They didn't know really where they were at. Is what it sounds like. So they're like, all hope is lost that we're ever going to be saved or find where we need to be. Notice it says taken away too. Notice it says taken away. And so as we can already tell, like I think one of the reasons I like this passage so much as I was praying the other day, I thought, you know, like this is just, you see this happening throughout this voyage. And it just reminds me of our voyage here on earth, you know, our life. Sometimes you get in places where it's stormy, you know you feel like all hope is lost, like I mean you don't know where you're at, you can't see, you know, in front of you or around you, wherever, but yet again, going back in Paul believing on the promise, because God appeared to him before all this set out, and he said, have no fear, because just as you have testified of me in Jerusalem, you are going to testify of me in Rome. The Lord appeared to Paul and said that. And so just, you know, and so just like we have a destination, and though although you may not get there the way you think you're getting there, and it may be rocky and wavy and all that kind of stuff, it doesn't look like it's a perfect sail, but it's appointed to get there. And God's going to do whatever it comes to pass to get us there. And so I love it. So all hope is lost. Verse number 21, but after long abstinence in this pertaining, fasting. After long fasting, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. But that didn't seem like it, you know, is those words don't seem like they could belong in this point in time, right? You know what I mean? Like everybody's hope is gone. You're going to die. You don't know what's going to happen. And Paul, you know, reaches up. And he's not doing it as in a sense of saying, like, I told you so. You know, like, look what's happened. But he's just saying it to prove unto them, look, I knew what I was saying, so listen to me now. Yeah, I'm reminding you, I know what I'm talking about, so what I'm about to say, you better pay attention because I already told you, you should have listened. And so he says, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Whew. Man, isn't it awesome? You know, and just looking at that and seeing after the many days, after long abstinence, after long fasting, the Lord, you know, like appeared, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Paul and again spoken of him saying, look, no life is going to be lost during this time except for the ship. But it took that fasting. It took that determination. It took that, you know, getting alone with God. It took pushing everything else and everything, all that was going on. I'm telling you what, you know, like, I don't know about you guys, but some of their facts, I'm like, I'm going to be doing that and that and that tomorrow, so I better just Daniel's fast. You know, like, I need my energy. I can't do it this day. Man, I really don't feel good, so I better just, you know, change. That's what goes through my mind. I don't know about you guys, but that's the things. What? Oh, is that your phone? That's all right. Or one of those Amber Alerts. We was in there the other day. Just in time for the storm. If it takes that for these. But I was held up by King of Persia. You know, and I mean, I, for me, I guess if you look at it and you see if it takes that for these men of God, like, it takes a little something on my part too. You know what I mean? Sometimes you get through a storm and you're like, oh, God will bring me through, God will bring me through, God will bring me through. You know, yeah, he will. There's no doubt, you know, no doubt about it. He's going to bring to pass exactly what he has appointed. But, you know, what am I doing on my end? What am I doing on my end? So these are just some of the things that, as I've been studying at this time, you know, once again, what he's been speaking to me. And so he's like, look, I serve God, verse 24, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, now, I thought I looked this up, and this was, they were referring to the, what I looked up was that it was referring to Adriatic Sea, but that's way up there, so I don't know for sure. Either way, they were driven up and down. And about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near unto some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. So 14 days it took them from Crete to get over here to this this island where they're coming to here. 14 days of, you know, storms and darkness and not knowing, and, you know, all hope being lost and all these things. That's a long time. It is a long time to be that deep into, like, whether you feel like you're going to have your life or not. You know, sometimes you feel like, at least, you know, you get in some spiritual battles and you feel like, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this. You know, it lasts like a day or, you know, like an hour or something. You know what I mean? And you're just like, I ain't going to make it. I ain't going to make it. I ain't going to make it. You know, 14 days. You know, it's not just any little, you know, just like these little bump and rocks that we kind of hit upon. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. So in other words, they're trying to let the boat down. It's like, you know, Titanic here, you know, the movie Titanic when the ship's sinking and everybody's just, you know, getting off on the boats and they're... Like they're doing a sneaky. They're trying to get off the boat, but they're not putting anchors down. They're thinking about everybody else. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. And so Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. That's powerful stuff right there. That is powerful stuff. No other way out, you know. I one particular time I'm studying this, and I wrote my Bible right here. It says, sometimes you have to cut off the escape. Sometimes you got to cut off the escape in order for God to bring you through what you need to go through. You know, sometimes we try to keep that little escape or that little outlet, you know, and sometimes you just got to sever it off and say, all right, Lord, I surrender. You know, I surrender. So, praise God, finally the soldiers are listening to Paul. They understand now, and they're like, okay, this is what you said, this is what we're doing. The boat's gone. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not... and hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. Love that. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. It didn't matter who, he broke bread from all of them, gave thanks to God, right? And in the midst of everything that was going on, it's dark, they don't know. They perceive that there's a island, that there's some sort of land, but they can't. That's why I said they wish for day. You know, they did for daybreak, so that they could tell, and all that. And Paul, in the midst of everything, in the midst of everybody, took the bread, blessed it, gave thanks, and ate. That's good stuff. And when they were of all good cheer, and they also took some meat. What? And they were all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. So it wasn't the meat that gave them good cheer. Which lets me know that Paul wasn't giving them just natural bread. He was giving them spiritual bread too. He was giving them spiritual bread. You're talking about he was preaching to them, he was prophesying to them. You know, he's already telling them to be of good cheer. And I tell you what, sometimes when you're in the midst of all that stuff and there's somebody like, you know, God said everything's going to be just great. You're like, get out of here, man, you know. They didn't throw them overboard. They didn't throw them overboard. That's what they probably, if somebody that's not going to listen or hearken or believing and eating what they're saying, it's like, get away with this guy, you know? God, yeah. Think about it, man. They didn't listen. They didn't. When they were at Crete, it wasn't ready. It wasn't ready. But God had to take them through storms, just like us. He had to take us through things because we weren't ready at a particular time to listen. It's all about the perspective, just to say, wow, thank you for the storm. Thank you for the waves. Thank you for the brokenness. You see the brokenness of the ship that's going on. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, amen. Just abide in the ship. Abide in the ship. No matter how rocky it gets, no matter how bad it is, if we just abide in the ship, if we abide in Jesus Christ, amen. And so, let's see. 37, and when we were all in the ship, 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lighted the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. Wow. And we know if we can get this thing right here, you know, like, we're going to be all right. And falling into a place where two seas met. Think about that. You're talking about different currents. You're talking about different, you know, the way the wind's got to be coming and bringing, you know, the currents and all sorts of stuff kind of meeting right there. I wouldn't say it's just, smooth as glass, as we like to say. They ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they all, that they escaped all safe to land. Praise the Lord Almighty. Isn't that awesome? Oh, thank you, Jesus. And so, I don't know, these stories like this. Yeah, you better believe it. No, well, praise God too. Our story's not written in the middle of it either, you know, because you got to think, man. There's sometimes when you're in the middle of it and you're thinking, you're wanting to write about how tough it is or about all these, about the hard places. But at the end of it, that's whenever you know if you're in the will of God that you can say, oh, thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for that. And you can just write away, you know, about and make this story. Wow. Yeah. You know, maybe so. Yeah. Right. Yeah. The last show they got off. Okay. Yeah. They wanted to go back, yeah. Yeah, I know, right. Oh, me. Man, this is good. In verse number 1 of chapter 28, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, For they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. Thank you, Jesus. And so, we'll just read this because this is powerful too. And Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. There came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Man, it's just like an enemy. You get through things, and here he is. The viper came out of the heat. Tell me where that makes sense. It don't. It don't make no sense. Right. Right, yeah, just in the midst of it, it threw it upon there, and then it comes up. But, you know, either way, right there in the fire, the enemy's going to try to take its very last stand. You know, after you've been through all these things, it's going to try to take its last stand there. And there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hanging on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." Jonah here, you know, it's like the story of Jonah, all right? You know, it's like, okay, you know, they're after him, and he's going to get him. But verse number 5, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Just shake it off. Just shake it off. And become, just shake it off. Yeah. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after that they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him. They changed their minds and said that he was a god. It is. That is how. But you know, like, look what God did. Look what God does in the midst of, on the way to Rome. He caused them to shipwreck upon this island. Paul notes them as barbarians. Barbarians. So not just like, you know, come into like a city or, you know, an island or something where there's a lot of trade and a lot of different things. Like, no, these are barbarians. And then what happens is the chief man of the island, his father, gets sick. Paul goes and prays for him and heals him. Heals him. It says that he lay sick with a fever and of a bloody flux. And when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. And so, I mean, my goodness, it's just miraculous. And so you look at these things and you think, you know, we know that that God's word is going to get to every single little crevices in the world. And you look at instances like this, and you can see how God does. It comes to a place, you know, just, you know, like this, and Paul's able to testify to them, to bear witness of what God has done for him to heal these people. Thank you, Jesus. It's miraculous, miraculous, miraculous. So, since they get up out of there. And so there's not as much to the rest of this, you know, little passage, but they go on up. They comes into the brethren. They came to Rome. The centurion delivered the prisoners to the captains of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, "Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem to the hands of the Romans." And so, you know, here he goes. It ain't 3 days. 3 days. That's all it took. All these things that Paul went through, all these days, 3 days, and he got to Rome. He's like, okay, it's time to get back to work. You know, and I'm sure it wasn't. Because Paul wanted to wait 3 days. It's probably just because they had to set up and everything they had to do. In my mind, I'm sure Paul was ready to do it before 3 days. Yeah. Yes. And so whenever they came up through there through April Forum and the three taverns, you know, they saw brethren. And so, you know, again, God's faithful to give us that mercy and that encouragement with the brotherhood once again. So here he goes, and then he just starts preaching, teaching, and you know they keep him there, and he's got people there helping him and taking care of him, and he just goes to writing, keeping on, not letting anything you know hold him down. Yes. Yes. He ends up. I can't remember where I was reading that at. It says here in my commentary that more likely though the matter ended in default without ever coming to trial, since early church traditions refer to a later ministry by Paul in the West, in parentheses put Spain, and then of course the pastoral epistles it's written to 1st, 2nd Timothy, and to Titus refer to a later ministry in the Aegean Sea. So you ain't got the Aegean Sea. They ain't even on this map. So it's on down. I believe if you go on down this way, you'll come to Spain. You're right. It's up. Yeah, it's up. Up and over, yeah. Yeah, this is the Middle East. This is Egypt. So this is Egypt's come on down to towards South America, or not South Africa, over towards South America, over. But anyways, it's amazing. Paul no doubt was released on several years later, but several years later arrested, and we find that because he writes in 2 Timothy, and then martyred. So, awesome stuff. And so I'll try to remember to announce on Sunday, but next week, since we've kind of finished this journey part, we'll go, because he then writes while he's there, for sure, Colossians and Philemon. So let's, how big is, maybe we'll just cover Colossians. It's four chapters, so that's not too much. That'll be good. So we'll study in Colossians next week and kind of go from there. Because we've done a lot of the other ones. We already read in Ephesians because he had went to Ephesus. We already read, brushed up in Philippians and we read Galatians as it came across. So we've been doing a lot of these, which we haven't studied in depth, a lot of these epistles that he wrote, but you know we've gone over some of them just to catch the main concept and powerful verses and what's really going on there in the church. So I think it's really awesome. It gives you a perspective of you know how the New Testament came to be, when it was written, and why, how, and all that area. But what did I believe that was what if they considered the start of him being in Jerusalem, captured in 57 AD, and all the way up into Rome was we got 62 AD. So it's 5 years, all this. So like 2 years prior, 2 years in Rome, and you know, year or so in between all the goings back and forth and change, I guess. That's a long time. 5 years. Whew. No, it didn't. It just, I love it. It enhanced it. You know, it enhanced it. Really, it brought it to pass. And again, comparing it to our lives, that's exactly, you know, what God does for us. You know, it doesn't hinder, you know, where we're going, or it doesn't hinder our walk. It's not, we're not, this isn't our final, you know, passage. Thank you, Jesus. But just enhancing. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, well, let's stand and we'll pray and be dismissed tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Love it. This is so encouraging. This studying has really, that's the only word I think I could truly use. It's been encouraging to read these scriptures and see what Paul's done in his life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's pray together. Precious Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Lord, we're so thankful, Lord God, for your word. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your bread of life, Lord God. You're faithful to feed us. Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord, that we can take heed of your word through your example given through Paul, Lord, in his life. He laid down his life, Lord God, for your glory, your purpose. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for the purpose that you've instilled in us for our lives, Lord God. And we want to bear witness of your goodness, Lord God. We want to continue to serve you, Lord Jesus, and spread your name. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We ask that you give us journey and mercy, Lord God, and bring us back to your next appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, bless thee and keep thee. Lord, make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Lord, lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. They shall put my name upon the children of Israel.